Good morning. It is morning. It is 7:32 a.m. on Wednesday, February the 22nd, 2016. No, 2017. One of those. It's a lovely morning. There's a wind that is raw and cold. The ambient's only 40 degrees, which is normally, you know, comfortable, relatively. But boy, that wind is just cutting the ears right off my head. I had to put on both hoods. Luckily, I had the fleece one with me, because I noticed that the trees outside were doing a little jiggle. I was afraid that it was going to be much colder than it looked, and it is. It feels much colder than 40 degrees. When I got up around 6, sky was absolutely clear. But as the sun has come up, the atmosphere has warmed. A lot of cumulus clouds seem to be forming, which is curious. It's a little counterintuitive. Clouds tend to be condensate, which sort of means that the water droplets condense out of the moist atmosphere to form the clouds. But the sun seems to be doing something, stirring up, maybe pushing the moist bits together. Or maybe it's just that the clouds are moving in from the west. They're not actually popping up as much as rolling in. Just some alto cumulus up there. And yeah, there is a lot of wind up there. I can see some of the cloud tops being blown off, which would support the thesis that it's not actually, they're not actually popping up. They're moving in. So anyway, hi, how are you? I'm out. Yesterday was a good day. Yesterday was an amazing day. Writing, no, not so much. But I'm looking for a good writing day today. I have almost nothing on my calendar for the day. The walk, the talk. My meditation has an alarm set for 11. I went through, I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday or not, but I went through and set alarms for a bunch of key things that I want to accomplish during the day. I already have calendars set up to do things like the walk in the morning, dinner prep, kitchen cleanup, to remind me that those things need to be done. Tomorrow, or late tonight actually, there'll be one pop up for tomorrow being trash day. It's also recycle week, so one of the tasks for today is to get the kids to get all their soda cans and into the recycle, in the recycle bin, so we can get them crushed, so we can get them out. I'll put them out tonight, probably, so that they're out tomorrow morning, so that I don't forget in the morning, which is a pretty likely thing. So anyway, I did the time tracker for the day yesterday. Starting at 8, running through 7, every 30 minutes an alarm would go off to remind me to write down how did I spend that 30 minutes. So there's an alarm that goes off at 8 o'clock to remind me to set the timer for 30 minutes. And then when it goes off at 8:30, I write in what I did from 8 to 8:30. And then I have to reset the timer and repeat. It's sort of like a Pomodoro idea. It's sort of like, okay, these next 30 minutes, I really didn't intend it to be, all right, what am I going to do for the next 30 minutes? Which is what it actually turned out to be. I sort of intended it to be just a simple task tracker, a simple time tracker, so I can figure out where I was spending my time. And I did spend some time in social media yesterday. I have stopped. I have stopped trying to engage people who are obviously just trolling. I've stopped trying to engage people who have made up their mind and throw up bullshit justifications for it. I did get involved in a conversation that, I probably shouldn't have. But only one, and it didn't take a lot of time. I didn't spend a whole great deal of time on it. I just sort of tossed a couple of ideas up. I did spend a fair amount of time yesterday talking with the CIFWA, the Science Fiction Fantasy Writers of America, both on their forums, and I spent half an hour in their chat room talking about the nebulas and why the nebulas don't really matter to indies. Now the problem is that we're getting, there's like three of us who are in the same camp here. Glenn Stewart, Annie Bellet, who writes the 20-Sided Sorceress series. If you have not found Annie Bellet's 20-Sided Sorceress, rock that sucker. It's terrific. It's terrific. And I'm not a big paranormal fan, but 20-Sided Sorceress is wonderful. And Glenn Stewart, of course, is the guy who does Starship Mage and Duchy of Terra and the Avalon. I can't remember what it's called now. Something Squadron of Avalon or something. Anyway, Castle Squadron. I forget. But he does some great stuff. And he and I, because we're writing, actually, he's writing more military science fiction. Although it is clearly space opera. He and I are writing in the same space. I admire his work. I always talk about how good his work is. So if you have not clambered aboard one of Glenn Stewart's books, that's also a good thing to try to do. Anyway, we're all three pretty much in the same mindset regarding what value the nebulas have for us. Now, there are still people who think that having USA Today bestseller on the cover matters. There are still people who think that having Nebula Award winner on covers matters. And there's a lot of the pushback is coming from people who are operating in physical book space. They're operating in bookstore and library space. They're operating in places where people find your book serendipitously. That is, they're walking along, minding their own business, and your book jumps out at them, and it's up to them to decide, looking at it, whether or not to open it, to look at the blurb on the back, to do all these other things. And that's not the space we operate in. That's not the space I operate in. I know there are people who still do. You know, I won't cross the street to make 10 sales. That's ridiculous. Particularly 10 sales in paper. That's just dumb. And the benefit to me of 10 paperback sales is particularly 10 paperback sales in a store is ludicrous. I digress. The space we operate in, we've already done the heavy lifting. If you can see the cover, in order to read the message, USA Today bestseller or Nebula Award winner, the heavy lifting has been done. The reader has found your book. The reader, my book, the reader has already come to the page where buy is there. And it's like reviews. It's like there are some people who, I always have to read the reviews to find out. It's like, okay, fine. I maintain so many people appear not to actually read the product description. I'm also pretty sure people don't read the reviews. If they like the book, they like the looks of it, the first few lines of the product description, they look at the price, and the smart people grab samples, the dumb people buy the book, Monk Post. But I maintain, and I really don't have any data to support it, so this is just an opinion. I maintain that once you've hooked them with the cover and the description, which I usually call a blurb, which is actually something different, it's up to the sample to get them to buy. It's not up to reviews. Reviews are fine. Reviews are nice. Reviews are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But people don't get to see the reviews until they've already found a book. People don't get to see the blurb, the description, until they've already found the book. The cover is the invitation. The cover is the key. The cover does the heavy lifting. And thumbnail, in the usual format where people find covers in ebook world, you can't see the little tiny fine print, Nebula Award winner, or USA Today bestseller. I'm really convinced, and I freely admit that I could very well be wrong, but I'm really convinced that that doesn't matter. That if you've done your job by putting a cover up that does its job of telling the reader what kind of genre it is, telling the reader what kind of story it is, telling the reader where this book belongs in terms of branding, as part of a series, for example, or as a standalone. If you've done that job, then people will click through to it and read the blurb, or not. Perhaps they'll go look at the stars. Oh, well, it's only got 3 stars. That's interesting. Why? So what's wrong with it? Or they'll look to see how many reviews it has. Or they'll look to... There are a lot of people. I will confess that when I'm on the fence about a book, I'll go read the 1-star reviews to see what people are complaining about. And if the 1-star reviews look stupid, as so many of them do, that's usually enough to convince me to buy the book, or at least to grab a sample. But again, these are edge cases. I don't bother with reviews except on edge cases. I look at the cover, I look at the blurb. If you can build a good blurb, the chances are you can build a good story. If you can build a good blurb and the good story appears in the sample, if you can get me to the Buy Me link at the end of every sample, there's a Buy Me link. If you can get me to the Buy Me link, the Buy Me link. Oh, Christ. Trash truck. Damn, that's loud. So if you can get me to the Buy Me link, the chances are good that I'm going to buy the book. Now, there are books that I have gotten to the Buy Me link after spraining an eyeball from eye rolls. Chances are I'm not going to go there. Although, there have been books where I have done a fair amount of eye roll, but there was something about the story, something about the characters, something about the voice that pushed me into buying it anyway and just reading the book. So in my modeling, in my sort of strategic model of... Good God, there's trash trucks everywhere here. of the marketplace. The little letters that go, a lot of people who put little taglines on their covers, I never see them. I know they're there because there's a little fuzzy colored line somewhere on the cover. It doesn't fit with anything else in the graphic, so it must be something like a log line or a quote. Not something that I bother with as a rule. But those are like reviews. Those are only the edge cases where those are going to matter. Those are the only the places where people are looking for confirmation for the decision that they've already made, if only subconsciously, in order to confirm their decision. Good morning. Something intriguing about a 70-year-old man on a scooter. I mean, he's bundled up. He's got his fluorescent green on. He's got his helmet on. I usually see his wife. I assume it's his wife because they're frequently out scootering together. He's got one of those what I should do. He pulled into the gazebo here. He's doing some push-ups. I should be doing some push-ups and some sit-ups myself. My upper body strength is just terrible. But yeah, I should. He's got one of those little skateboards with a handle on it. It's not what kind of scooter it is, but there's not a lot of balance required. There's a certain amount of planning, I think, required to keep from nosediving off that sucker, which is why a helmet is a good idea. Oh my gosh. I got around the corner, that wind is frozen. So yeah, we're having some interesting discussions. What we really need to have is some serious discussions about the disconnect between Sifu's perception of how indies work and the actual reality of how indies work. I think perhaps maybe we're starting that discussion now, which is interesting, which is intriguing, which is in a certain sense gratifying. Okay, here we are. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. If I can find a little thing to show it off. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.